It's Lake Effect from Milwaukee's NPR.
Before the coronavirus pandemic, going to the gym wasn't just a way to stay physically healthy, but offered people a sense of accountability and community. During initial lockdowns, many of us found different ways to stay active, from virtual workouts to more outdoor activities. Now that some gyms are open again, should you go? Dr. Joyce Sanchez is an infectious disease specialist at Fredert and the Medical College of Wisconsin, and she joins me now to discuss where gyms fall in the risk of contracting or spreading COVID-19. Dr. Joyce Sanchez, welcome to Lake Effect. Thank you for speaking with me today.
Thank you for having me today.
So do you think that gyms overall should have been included as one of the first institutions allowed to reopen under the initial protocols that were across the United States when we were, quote, reopening?
Sure. I think a lot can be said about which facilities and which institutions should be prioritized for reopening. Certainly the facilities, the institutions that are more necessary, more essential, maybe not absolutely essential in the traditional sense as grocery stores and other things that sell things that people need, despite the lockdown and the pandemic early in the beginning. The gym, from my perspective, is a healthy thing to engage in, is also a luxury. And I think particularly early on when we were still understanding the role of airborne transmission, the role of droplet spread and close contact, gyms would not have been my first type of facility to open up.
And even under stricter sanitation protocols, can facilities where people congregate to sweat, to breathe heavily in confined spaces using shared equipment, you know, really be safe during the coronavirus pandemic?
Well, that's a difficult question to answer 100%, but let me start with what we know about the factors that primarily drive transmission and impact the risk of both acquiring COVID-19 and transmitting it to others. And that'll help us understand where gyms fall in that risk category. So first is time, second space, people and place. So time, space, people and place. Time being the less the time that you're in an area with other people, the better. Space is all about distance. So at least 6 feet or more, but the more the better. People, so the fewer amount of people that are in an area, the less the risk there is. And I would also include the behaviors that those people are engaging in, including whether or not they're wearing masks or facial coverings, and whether or not you and other individuals are properly washing or disinfecting hands. And the last piece is place. So indoor is going to be higher risk than outdoor types of activities. Air ventilation plays a factor. The humidity, the temperature, and the type of disinfection of the surfaces. So those are all things that gyms can address. But if we take all four factors into consideration, we can say without any question that not going to the gym is safer from a COVID-19 risk standpoint than going to the gym. So when you ask me the question, what can be done to truly make the gym a safe environment, making the facility risk-free is really not a realistic expectation, short of having one's own private gym or using the gym services virtually, either via one-on-one instruction or group instruction. So while it can't be 100% and truly risk-free, there are things that gyms and gym goers can do to lower that risk by addressing those four factors.
There are no widespread protocols specific for gyms. It can vary from place to place and is based off of local, state, and county recommendations. But because when we go to a gym, we're exercising, and there are different levels of exercise, of course, and intensity. But in general, breath is being expelled more forcefully when we exercise. So you mentioned more distance is better, but should gyms have a different guideline that goes beyond the standard of 6 feet of distance recommendation? You know, should it be greater when it comes to not just moving around people, but spacing out equipment?
That's an excellent question. I wish I could answer that with any degree of absolute confidence. So 6 feet is the minimum recommended distance as dictated by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, or CDC. But you're absolutely right. When we talk about exercising where you're expelling air a little bit more forcefully, other activities like singing, forceful speech, coughing, sneezing, those all can expel droplets beyond 6 feet. We know that, and that doesn't even address the aerosolized particles, which are the small viral particles, which we don't know exactly how much that plays, but we believe that and know that there is some role for that too. So I can't tell you whether gyms need to enforce 8, 10, 12 feet between people or equipment, but certainly the greater the distance, the better. Now, that's only one thing that you can do in terms of space or distance to bring down the transmission of virus. So that's important. But gym goers themselves can actually instill practices that decrease the risk. So one example is wearing masks. And so if you wear your mask, you're at least cutting off that trail of droplets by many orders of magnitude. Studies have shown that cloth face coverings and masks have a significant impact on the distance that those droplets travel. So, but that, not just one person, that needs to be everybody in the gym, or at least as many people as possible. And the second that gym goers can elect to do is to go during off-peak hours. So if you know that the gym is absolutely flooded at 7 a.m. or 6 a.m., try to avoid that. Maybe go midday or late in the evening to minimize the amount of time you're sharing that space with as other people are there. Wearing a mask can actually be a way to engage with other people in a meaningful way. And that may be a surprising statement, but think about it. A lot of people go to the gym to commune with other people, to be part of a team, of fitness, to hold each other accountable and to spur each other on. And people wear team t-shirts. Why not wear team masks? That's another tool. And studies shown time and time again that if you enter a room where everyone else is engaging in a behavior, guess what? You're much more likely to follow suit. So the same can be applied to wearing a mask. If you wear a mask and other people wear a mask, you're much more likely to encourage other people to say, hey, everyone else is doing this, and I should probably do that too. So you yourself can set an example to others if you decide to go to a gym. And it's not an end all to decreasing transmission risk, but it's an additional layer you can add.
Right. And do you believe that this additional layer of wearing a mask, and especially because the mask requirements will vary from county to county, city to city, gym to gym, you know, and even though gyms have been putting in new ventilation system, they're upping their cleaning protocols and things of that nature. But, you know, unless you have a mask on, are all those other precautions, you know, it's not the end all be all. Do you think that it needs to be all of these factors at once? You can't really pick and choose.
Well, I think the more of those precautions you take, the better. Going to the gym is not going to be risk-free. So it's a matter of bringing down the risk in every way possible. And I think masks are playing a big role, even though they are not the only thing. Distance and being outdoors are probably bigger factors, although I can't quantify exactly how much engaging in those precautions is going to decrease that risk. But everything we can do in order to bring down the risk, the better. And I didn't even talk about whether or not outdoor exercise is a possibility. So, you know, gyms can offer fitness classes outside. Gyms may have capability to have virtual group fitness classes or one-on-one. You mentioned the ventilation systems can be adjusted in certain circumstances to avoid recirculating that same air. And then the diligence about wiping down equipment. But and those are all very, very important. But none of those things in of themselves or even together is going to completely stop transmission. So I get asked, you know, should I do this activity or that activity? And going to the gym is one of those questions. And I'm a medical doctor. I understand the importance of getting exercise. Absolutely, that's beneficial to one's health. There's no question that it is. And there are other benefits. It's a stress reliever. For some people, it's a huge sanctuary from home. It's a place where you can find that community and motivation and make meaningful friendships and connections. So as people think about whether or not they decide to go to a gym, it's really important that they examine some factors. And one of the first is, what are their own health risks? So lots of gym goers have additional fat on their bodies, and obesity is a risk factor. If you get COVID-19, you're more likely to have a severe illness, diabetes, asthma, heart and lung disease, age. Those are all factors. And the more of those underlying health conditions you have, the more likely you may become severely ill. And we have to think outside of ourselves too. So what is the risk of those who we come into contact with? Because it's not just about ourselves. This virus is leaky and will find every vulnerable non-immune person to infect. It's very clever, and it's a virus like this is not one we've ever seen before in this lifetime. So those are two things someone has to examine before they engage in going to the gym. And the third is, what's the state of the pandemic locally? Are you in a state or in a district where cases are going up? Maybe that's not the time to go. Are things under really good control? Are cases going down? That is a factor that I think is very important to consider. And then lastly, what the risks of the actual activity are. So is this a gym class that can be taken outside? Is this a gym class that is in a large space where you're distanced at least 6 feet or more? Is this a gym that enforces mask wearing? And once you consider all those factors, yeah, everyone makes a choice. So it's also important, though, not to forget that if you're not comfortable going to that gym anymore after you go and see people aren't wearing masks, or maybe things aren't being disinfected properly, or there's not a large room where the space is larger, you can feel free to take your business elsewhere. In that case, you can take your exercise elsewhere if you feel uncomfortable with the situation. So you don't have to be locked in once you get there and you find, gosh, maybe this is not such a good idea.
Does warm, moist atmosphere, such as those found at a gym, you know, particularly if you're in a small group class studio that's separate from the bigger spaces, does that increase the rate of potential denser transmission with larger droplets? And is there any data or research that indicates sweat is at all a factor? And I know there's a lot we don't understand, but when it comes to things we, you know, do at the gym, which is sweat and breathe through our nose and our lungs different ways, how does that play into COVID transmission?
Sure. To date, I'm not aware of any COVID transmission going on through sweat. So this is a primarily respiratory virus, although it can invade the blood vessels and get into all of our end organs, including the liver, the brain, the kidneys. So it invades everywhere. But to my awareness, I haven't seen any studies that have specifically looked at whether live active virus that can be transmissible has been detected in sweat. However, does that really make a difference? Because we're talking about respiratory droplets being expelled and getting on skin and mixing with sweat. So I think for all intents and purposes, the sweat question probably doesn't really matter when we talk about transmission, because it's really the droplet stuff. And when you're sweating, you're breathing heavy. So your risk is going to go up if you're sweating by virtue of that respiratory droplet expelling going on. As far as, you know, what's going to be higher risk, a closed gym with good fans, open windows, or a larger gym where they aren't unable to open windows, I don't know the answer to that. It's going to be a facility by facility basis. But regardless of what the activity is, the gym in of itself, no matter the gym, is going to be a high risk area to go to.
I'm not aware of any gyms that have done it here in Milwaukee or Wisconsin, but you do see pictures of gyms making little bubbles or pods for people. So I suppose depending on many things and like we will be affected long term, but I'm curious to see how gyms change in the long run.
Yeah, same here. I think people, and I commend people for being creative and thinking outside of the usual box. How can we keep people separate? I think those are all good things to think about. I also understand that gym owners and managers are, you know, financially in a place where they may be forced to open up because there's no other way of really providing for their families. And I understand that. So my message here is that my heart goes out to those people. My heart goes out to people who miss going to the gym. And I really wish I could say that this is a time where we've figured out how to make the risk low enough. Honestly, though, we're just not there yet.
Well, Dr. Joyce Sanchez, thank you for joining me and shedding a little bit of light on going to the gym during this pandemic.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Joyce Sanchez is an infectious disease specialist at Froedtert and the Medical College of Wisconsin. She joined me for this month's Fit for You segment, and you can explore all past segments at WUWM.com. You can hear more interviews like this one by visiting the Lake Effect page at WUWM.com.